Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to a very special edition of the SC Report. We are definitely in some interesting times. They may take our freedom, but they will not take away the SC Report. We are here and we'll keep rolling all the way until the season gets back on track. And what we're going to do is to start, well, with the benefit of hindsight, start getting back into the season previews for each team. And where else would we start than the mighty Brisbane Broncos? So on today's SCA Report, I don't have the usual guest. We have got a very special guest on the other line, a bit of a cross-pollination of another podcast that's out there, Supercoach Champions. I'm sure that you guys all enjoy that one. But it's a very, very warm welcome to...
Oh, morning, Wilbur.
Mr. Wilbur himself, how are you?
Oh, God, you got me good there. Good to be on, Langy. Thanks for having me on. And why else wouldn't you have me on but to talk about the Broncos, right?
It is. What a time to be alive when you and I can just get together for half an hour and talk about the mighty Broncos. Excited to do that. And we do have two games, as we said, in hindsight, to kind of talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. So similar to our Sunday night podcast that we'll start running through. And, you know, I know you're a massive Broncos fan and also have an incredible brain when it comes to NRL, but also Supercoach. So very fortunate to have you on, my friend. But before we do that, as we did, and I know you're going to do the same thing, free promotion for small businesses or anyone that's going to be impacted from small businesses during this COVID-19 issue that everyone's going through. And my first plug that I've got here is a takeaway joint. Not quite sure of what the name is, so it's not a great plug, but it's in Burwood and Burwood area, attached to the Royal Sheaf Hotel. Apparently, they do a fantastic pasta and steak, and just looking up their Facebook page at the moment as well. And I'll include the link in the podcast, but it's the Chef's Wife is the place. So anyone around that area, go check them out. And Wilfred, do you have any promotions or advertising you'd like to briefly walk through?
Yep, so we've got another plug here. So MacArthur Decks and Pergolas. So based in Western Sydney, basically a great chippy with a lot of attention to detail. So if you're around that area, need a good deck or pergola or any sort of that kind of work at all, I think there's a great name for you to call there. So maybe just look them up on the good old Google machine.
Yeah, definitely, mate. What we will do is we're going to put up all the links and everything and keep promoting. So if you are a small business or connected to a small business, definitely just shout us out, jump into our DMs or send an email to nrlsupercoachtalk@hotmail.com. That is nrlsctalk@hotmail.com, and we will promote you throughout. Okay, so what we are going to do, as I said, we're going to just jump straight into the Broncos, take about 30 minutes to preview then, and jump into the good, the bad, and the ugly. Wilf, let's start with the good, mate. I'll let you hit off. You're the guest on the podcast. Who's really, from a Broncos perspective, I mean, no one probably is impressed more than Stags from a Supercoach perspective.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go past Stags. Fresh off 121 points, 3 tries, his first career hat-trick. I think, you know, there were some concerns after round 1 where he only played 52 minutes, went off with cramp basically. But no issues this round, so I think it's just a, you know, early season bit of fitness struggle there, because he did have a bit of a disrupted preseason, but absolutely, he looks so dangerous on that right edge. Brody Croft seems to be knowing how to give him some early ball and just let him do the rest. So, yeah, I mean, round three, technically, unless they change the draw, if we come back against the Titans, it's going to be hard to say no to that, especially when he's got a nice negative break even straight away.
Yeah, absolutely. That was looking very tasty this weekend. So he's going to be hard to hold out. Another player that's going to be hard to ignore as well, given the form over the past two rounds, is Jermaine Osako. He replaced, Bird, that went down with an ACL injury just before the season started. But at fullback, he seems to be performing really well.
Yeah, and I think the thing for him is he's always been a fullback, and the last 2 years he's kind of been pigeonholed, shoved on a wing, because that was the best way to get him into the team. So I think we saw, especially last year, he struggled a lot in the defensive side of things, and he definitely looks more comfortable at fullback. I still feel he's settling into the role, and I can understand, you know, with him basically kind of shoved out of the fullback role right before the season started due to how well Bird had been training there and how he trialed compared to Osako. But yeah, he seems to be grabbing this opportunity with both hands and not letting it go. He's looked great. I think, you know, round one was probably his best game at fullback, basically his best game in first grade altogether. But, you know, he's got a great boot. He didn't go so well last week, but you know, generally he's an 85% kicker, and that is getting somehow rarer in the NRL these days. So, you know, making plenty of runs as well from fullback. So he seems like a very safe option. I think the question is, if you've got to go one of these two guys, I'm kind of thinking maybe Osako might actually be the safer option long term. But Staggs also has the opportunity of, you know, you can get him for the potential 2 week cash grab with the 121 in there for 2 weeks. But then, you know, he could still be a top 6, 7, 8, you know, potential center wing option for the year. So you could also be getting a keeper if you grab Staggs at this point too. So it's an interesting, I think it's going to come down to a bit of a gut call, basically.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And he looks pretty safe. What's his base around about 50? Is that correct?
Well, the first week it was a bit higher, but in the second week he was only, I think if you take out his attacking stats and also he had a forced dropout in there, he only comes back to about 37 points. Like I said, though, he didn't have his best goal-kicking game. So, you know, normally if he kicks like he normally does, I think it would have been sitting around the 40, 45 mark for his base, which I think for a center wing is fantastic.
Yeah, okay. And what about the risk about him? I think his dad's in a – it's a pretty sad story what's happening there. Is there a risk that he, you know, might not be there when we resume in terms of might be back in New Zealand? Or what are your insights there?
Yeah, look, I guess this is something we found out last year. In fact, that's where he was struggling. I think we noticed that his game was not great. He was not in a great place mentally because his dad had been struggling with cancer. And eventually he went back home to New Zealand, spent a couple of weeks with his dad there, and he came back. And I think you saw at the end of the season, he struck up a bit of combination with Staggs. They both scored a lot better. So it seems to not have affected him this round, at least. And I guess whether it's going to impact him long term, I think it's a really hard question. I would say he's going to be okay. I think he's probably gone through the worst of it. If it might have been like last year was when he found out that, you know, it was an inevitable outcome.
Yep.
So now it's that he knows it's coming. Maybe it's just, you know, the news that came out was that he was taking a bit of a turn for the worse. So I think, you know, if you did have doubts over that, then maybe that's where you'll tip towards Staggs.
Yeah, the best of luck to the Osako family. Hopefully it all works out well there. But I think between the two of them, I mean, I honestly think that if you probably go both of them, you're probably going to be pretty safe. The Broncos outside backs tend to score well. Staggs, in the games he played 80 last year and even had the goal kicking, was, I think, a 60 average plus player. And then Osako just performing the way he is, great goal kicker as well, I think over about 80%. And the Broncos look like they're going to be really good this year when we kick back off. And you got to think, too, that you're going to have a fit Croft, probably a fit Lodge, and you're going to have Joe O and Alex Glenn back in the side, so that they're going to be a handful.
Yeah, and I guess I came into this season with – I felt like I'd kind of revised my expectations a bit lower. So I feel like for me, the Broncos have outperformed what I expected from them the first 2 weeks. So that's great. And I think if the Broncos are going to keep trending upwards, then absolutely you could very well finish with both these guys in your center wing come the end of season.
Absolutely. Should we move to the forwards now? And there's probably one guy we don't need to spend too much time on, but that's Payne Haas. He's just incredible, isn't he? I can't remember a player, particularly a prop, playing the full 80 minutes. It's just and particularly how young he is too. So for me, it's just an easy locking captain. It's not one of those options I don't have to give too much thought to. Just lock him in. 75 to 80 points. I'm pretty happy with that. What about you?
Yeah, look, I don't think he's going to play 80 once we do get all the troops back. As you said, Lodge, he was floating around the 55 to 60 minute mark each week. And I think once he comes back, he probably will build back into that. But I would suspect once the Broncos are full strength, like Lodge, Joe O, Alex Glenn, Pangai, Haas will probably drop back to around 60, 65 minutes. But we saw last year he averaged 78 playing 63 minutes per game. So no issues there, really. I think.
Wait up, Will. Wilfer, I just heard something. Hang on a second. Who's that?
Boys, is this a Broncos pod that you didn't invite me to? What's going on?
You weren't invited, mate. You weren't invited.
Hey, what are we talking about?
Not the Cowboys, that's for sure.
What do we got? Penalty Bronx, Friday night Bronx, Thursday night Bronx, one town team, all the favourites in all the favours in the world. No premiership. Well,
Could be the solo Broncos soon, the only side that's able to keep itself afloat.
Mate, I would love for you to have your own competition. Please go away and leave it to the other boys. Thank you.
Well, we did try to, didn't we? And it was called the Super League.
Yeah, it didn't last long when you get a premiership with an asterisk next to it. Yeah.
Repo, love him. Love him. The Broncos at heart.
Where are we? What are we talking about?
Talking about Fleegler and Carrigan, about to move on to the young Bulls, mate. The young thoroughbreds that are performing so well this year. So two pretty, well, one very popular super coach option in Carrigan has not disappointed, I don't think. But young Thomas Fleegler, he's been incredible, particularly his last game. Wilfred, are you surprised by the performance of either of those two this year?
Not surprised. I think we knew Carrigan was going to be good. He'd been hyped up all preseason. I mean, going from bench forward last year to basically vice-captain of the Broncos, starting lock. I mean, that is, I guess, meteoric, basically. And he's lived up to it. I mean, 61 minutes first round and 75 in week two, and he got through a ton of work. Certainly no surprises there. Tommy Flegler, I mean, I think we're both massive fans of the kid. And I don't think, you know, I'm not surprised that he was as good as he was. At the same time, I didn't think he was going to get the minutes long term. But if he's going to keep up this form, there's every chance he's going to be, you know, demanding to play 40 to 50 minutes each week. And if he's going to play at that high work rate, yeah, like I love it as a Broncos fan. Just I'm a bit cautious as to whether he's an option for Supercoach.
Yeah, and I guess what we've got here is we've got Lodge, Joe O, and Alex Glenn. They're all going to be probably back when the NRL does return. And those guys that we were discussing just then, Flegler and Carrigan, their minutes could be at risk.
Yeah, look, I definitely have to agree. And if anyone's going to lose minutes, I would say it's, you're like, Carrigan's not going to get 75, 61 even. I think he's going to get back to that 50 to 60 mark at best. But I think when he gets to do that, his work rate's much higher. We saw when he was playing off the bench, he was, you know, pretty much 1 point per minute and just in base. So I think, yeah, if Carrigan keeps, you know, 50 or 60 minutes, he's going to continue making good coin and, like, he'll be a nice cash cow. Flegler's the big question mark there, and I think it will depend on how many minutes Lodge gets straight up and Joe as well. So unless you've got him in your team already, I think I'd probably give him a bit of a swerve.
Yep, I think that's very good advice. How could we have a Broncos podcast and without Wilbur online then not talk about the mighty Milford?
I feel like I'm like the resident Milford fanboy that every time Milford goes well, like when he scored his try last week, right, my phone literally exploded with the number of people adding me on Twitter or mentioning me on Facebook or just messaging me generally going off about Milford. So I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. I've got that reputation.
Well, I don't think it feels like, mate, you are his fanboy.
Look, I have been accused of apparently following him around or something like that. So
stalking. I think there's a restraint on you at the moment of some sorts. I don't know. We don't need to go in those kind of details at the moment, Wilfred, but maybe we can just stick to Supercoach. And he's been pretty good. As a Broncos fan, it's great. As Supercoach, I'll admit it, I might have got that wrong, one wrong. He's offloading. He's doing lots of good stuff. I definitely in game one, Croft helped, but he only had him for about 20 minutes in game two. So maybe Milford has just turned a corner.
Yeah, I think the thing with Milford is that the last 2 years he's been asked to do something he's not naturally good at doing. And I felt that he got better at it, but it wasn't good for him in Supercoach terms. Milford at his Supercoach best is when he's running the ball eight, nine times a game. You know, every time he runs the ball, he usually busts one or two tackles and, you know, he can get the offload away. We saw that in round one where he threw a ridiculous 7 effective offloads, which was, you know, great as an owner. But, you know, he's been asked to play that organizer role the last 2 years and it's not his natural game. And kind of similar to, I'm not comparing Milford to Lockyer at all, but Lockyer was always great at that, you know, game manager type thing. And, you know, he's one of the greatest, if not, you know, the greatest Bronco ever. And he was never Supercoach relevant for that reason. Like, he was a great player on the field. And I think, like, Milford suffered because he had to kind of play that role. He works best when he can just let the other half take control, organize, not have to worry about getting to the kick and being ready to take the kick or whatever. He can just do his thing. And if he's not in position on tackle 4 or 5, he knows that Croft will get the kick, or even, you know, Dearden if Croft's not healthy. Whereas in the last 2 years, he had to be the one basically making sure he was ready to kick the ball because Cody Nikorima wasn't kicking the ball. And, Turpin and Macker and all the other options they tried at halfback last year, that was never going to work out. So I think you'll find Milford was in the top 4 and even the top 1 in the last 2 years for number of kicks in the NRL. And the years before that, he wasn't even the top 15, top 20. So I think that makes a huge difference to his game. So if he stays not kicking the ball as much, I think he's going to go back to being Supercoach relevant. Maybe not a 65-70 average, but definitely much better than his price is at the moment.
Well, I reckon you must be pretty furious. They've got a game, as we said, against the Titans coming up. He would have looked like a pretty good option. But I think Milford's a bit disappointed as well, because last time the Titans played, they were giving away free Big Macs. So I thought he was probably in store then for a good fee.
I think that was only if the Titans scored 10 points or something like that, right? They could get a free Big Mac. But
oh, I think he could let that happen, mate. He was all prepared for 10 points, give to the Titans, the Broncos, to score about 1,000 or something like that. So all good. Let's briefly just talk about his new halves partner, Brody Croft. So although he hasn't set the world on fire from a Supercoach perspective, I just think he's been a really good addition to the side and should allow all the other players we've basically talked about, particularly in the back line, perform to their best. That they haven't had anybody like him for a while. We can just see Cody Nikorima went to the Warriors and he got benched, right? So Milford has pretty much been doing it on his own. He's got now a partner in crime in Brody Croft, who did suffer an injury, but that's only that will definitely not see him out for when we do return to the game this year. So I think that's why we've got it in here as the good. I think it's a good thing for the Broncos and their Supercoach output.
Yeah, 100% agree. Whether Croft is that great of a halfback himself, he's better than anyone else that the Broncos have had the last 2-3 years. So absolutely, it lets Milford do his thing. And although, you know, I don't rate his defense, and that's a big concern. And that's what I'm consistently worried about, especially if he and Pangai line up next to each other later in the season. I think that's going to be a real weakness for the Broncos. But, you know, it's a Supercoach point opportunity for opposition left side halves and left side back rowers running at them. I think we saw how that was taken advantage of by the Cowboys. Hey, JT.
Yeah. Oh, I think my sound's fixed. Ooh. Is that any good?
You're very loud, JT.
I think it was my yeehaw.
I think I was just so excited. We mentioned the Cowboys, right? I think
the power of the yeehaw has fixed my volume problems. How about that? Hey, what can't the Cowboys fix? Well.
Are you done or do you have any good input?
Oh, I just heard Cowboys and I yeehawed. I don't even know what to ask.
The token cowboy, the token yeehaw. That's all you've got to offer now. No input, no knowledge, no wisdom, nothing, just stupidity.
Great highlights video I watched last night, 2016 Michael Morgan highlights. Highly recommend. Well,
at least you didn't say 2015. That's good.
Well, I could if you would like.
No, it's all good.
So where was I? 79th minute, melted streaks down the field. You think, oh, it's all over. Passes to Ben Hunt, of all people, who gets the ball stolen off him by Kyle Felt. Shall I continue?
I can do this. Mute. All right. See you, JT. We'll speak to you soon, mate. It's been good to speak to you. Not.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, so let's move on to the bad, Wilfred. Maybe TPG, your boy. Yeah, he's your avatar and your Twitter handle, and just suspended 4 weeks. And the issue with that, obviously, is that's going to carry over. So when the NRL does kick, the game does kick back on again, he's got another 3 weeks to go. And it was TPJ. I don't know why I said TPG. That's an internet provider. It was pretty stupid, wasn't it?
Yeah, good on you, champ.
I thought you muted him.
Yeah, I've got to mute him again.
I'm back. Look,
not ideal, obviously, and we know how dangerous he is with ball in hand, but he's shown he's prone to a few brain snaps. I thought he was a little bit unlucky because, yeah, he was a bit of a dog shot, but he certainly wasn't aiming for the head. And, careless. And so he deserves to serve his time, especially given his track record recently.
Come on, Wilfred. I'm a Broncos fan, and even I can admit that was a dirty, cheap shot.
I said it was a dog shot. I just said he wasn't aiming for his head, though.
Oh, I don't know. I many people out there might beg to differ, mate.
Very cool. Either way, look, he's serving a suspension. He deserves it, and it is what it is.
Well, what that could do as well is going back to what we were speaking about with the likes of a Carrigan or a Flegler is that Pangai out for first three games when we returned, even if a Lodge or a Glenn is there, one of those guys should get pretty big minutes without Pangai on the side.
It's hard to say, though, because Hopewadi, the second game rookie, he played 80 that last week.
He did. Didn't do much from a Supercoach perspective, he's got an interesting one. He's obviously been, I think he's been in jail, hasn't he?
He's got a bit of a track record. Can put it that way, but
he's not the usual clean skin Bronco as well.
Yeah, unfortunately, there seems to be a bit of a trend these days, doesn't it?
Oh well, he has looked pretty good in all honesty, and he's a big unit too, big strong boy. So I think he'll definitely hold his place on the bench, and maybe it's more McCulloch that makes way, but Seibold does tend to like to carry a utility on the bench.
Well, currently he was carrying two, right? One spare hooker and a spare outside back. But look, to be honest, it's come out. It's actually worked out pretty well, given we needed him last week for Stags, and especially with this week with Croft going down. So maybe Seibold is smarter than what we give him credit for. He didn't go to Harvard for no reason, right?
the Broncos have started off pretty well, Matt. So I think there needs a bit of credit to Seibold. I think he's got the boys all read up. And if the coronavirus wasn't out there, the Broncos were probably going to be 3-0 this week and top of the ladder arguably as well. So I think he's done a pretty good job. Let's move on to Corey Oates. So Goats, you don't think you can call him that anymore?
No, certainly not. He hasn't played like a goat for a while. Or he played like a different type of goat, maybe.
There you go. Well done. Good one. Yeah, anyway, moving along. So where's the ball going in attack? Is it going towards him or is it going down the other side?
I feel like right now, because Milford's running the ball so much, like I think he's going out there to try to run the ball. And that means he's not passing it, obviously, on the left-hand side. I think that'll fix itself as the season goes, as people, you know, as the defences have realised they've got to really mark up with Milford now. They can't just let him run every time and he'll be able to, you know, use the extra space like he did in 2015, 2016 when, you know, Oates did quite well because he was getting so much space through Boyd wrapping around and throwing the cutout and you know, the threat of Milford running on the left-hand side. So right now, yeah, certainly more balls going down the right. We see that with Stags. But I think long term, Oates will be okay. But for now, I mean, you can't look at him until he starts to show a bit of life.
Yeah, fair enough. It's a bit disappointing. He's going to be a pretty juicy price, I think, as well. But yeah, I think you bang on then. The other wing, Arthurs, he played really, really good in the first game, but just couldn't get any, could really get close to it at all. He scored, what, about a 14 or a 16 in week two, so pretty much a rocks and diamonds there.
Yeah, it was interesting. I don't know whether it's just because every time Stags got the ball, he ended up scoring or there wasn't really a need for Arthurs to get in there and take lots of runs from the back like he did in round one. So I think it's too early to make a call. There's the fact that he's kind of shuffled from wing to centre as well. We saw last week that Stags actually moved into the halves at one point. And Arthurs went to right center. So whether that's, you know, a permanent rotation he's going to do, I don't know. I mean, this is where Seibold obviously has, tried a few different things. And as you said, it's been working out because we've won, but it's not non-conventional, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, fair enough. But I think he's looked pretty good and he's a good little recruit for the Broncos. So at about 300 grand, I'm not too disappointed to have started the season with him, but there's probably a few other better options for people looking to grab a player before the initial price rises. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the fact that his second round was the lowest score is not great, so he might tank his price a little bit even. But yeah, there's every chance that he turns up against the Titans, for example. We'll see.
Yeah. Okay, let's move along to the ugly. Just starting with the injuries there. So Lodge and Bird, both long-term ACLs. Lodge might be back in like a 10-week time frame, and that's when we might just be getting ready to kick the season back off again, although the Bird looks like he could be missing, or definitely miss all of this and probably could miss a bit of next year as well. And who knows where he's going to be as well because his contract runs out at the Broncos. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, and the interesting thing with Lodge is actually he might actually be back sooner. There was a tweet NRL Physio put out because Lodge, it was like a partial ACL tear and apparently something that he's played with for the last 2 years as well. So this was like a re-aggravation of sorts, and basically what NRL Physio explained was that he had actually seen the physio, sorry, he Lodge actually saw the specialist last week, and he was basically told that he could take his brace off and start running again. So, yeah. And then the idea was that he would have another specialist appointment in 3 or 4 weeks' time. And basically if he got, like, if his rehab continued to progress, he would basically get the all clear to come back after that time. So he might have been as soon as a month away, which I think that's crazy, right, given what we had initially thought in the preseason. So to me, as soon as, you know, the footy restarts again, fingers crossed it does, I think, yeah, Lodge would be straight back into the team and might not even actually have to ease into it. He might be ready to go straight up because depending on how long we have until the footy's back, he might have had a good 2-3 months to actually continue running and building up his fitness again.
it is amazing, right? And it's something of, well, this is unprecedented everything, but when you've got players with serious injury, they're meant to be missing big chunks of the season, not even just talking about Lodge, but you've got Bateman as well, who was going to be missing maybe the first 6 to 8 weeks. By the time we're back going again, those guys are going to be playing, and that's going to have big ramifications for Supercoach because people have picked those round one sides based on those injuries. So I don't mind it, actually. I think it adds a whole another aspect to the game, and I think it's going to be a pretty even effect across the board. You've already spoken about him briefly. I think looks pretty good from a real football-like perspective, but Hopawade, he could be a popular cheapie once we get started again, but I just think he's a little bit of a trap when you've got Joe O and Alex Glenn to come in. I think he's probably going to play reduced minutes off the bench. I can just see him being a little bit one of the poorer cash cow options there when we do resume sometime in a month or two. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, totally agree. I can't see him not being named on the bench if he's named at all, to be honest. So, you can't pick a bench forward, especially when there are better options who, you know, not fighting in packs as deep as the Broncos one is. So, yeah, you'd look at the likes of Qatar and guys like that before you look at Hopawade.
Agree. And maybe before we move on to the last of the ugly, Justin, are you still there, mate? Do you have anything to contribute to this at all, or are you just in for the shits and giggles?
I'm literally watching the 2015 grand final highlights, mate. that's where I'm at. I've completely tuned out. Oh, yeah.
All right, hang on, I got to mute him again. All right, muted. All right, get back in your box, Justin. Just stay there and just get away from it. All right, we're talking serious stuff here. Well, for apologies about this amateur hour with Justin just ruining everything, where we are about to finish off the podcast, and we're going to finish off with the hooker situation. It's not good for Supercoach. You've got Turpin and McCulloch there as well. Zero Supercoach relevance for either of them, but you possibly think as the season develops, maybe McCulloch might make way?
Yeah, it's a tough one because obviously Turpin, you know, he's getting, I mean, he's played 57 minutes and 63 minutes, but you kind of get the feeling both of those weeks might have just been inflated due to, you know, Stags gone off a cramp and then obviously the Croft injury in round two. So I kind of feel like he might really get more than 60 minutes normally, maybe 55, and at his PPM. I mean, he's got a great sense for attacking stats, and I think he continues to get them, but I just don't think he's going to be a reliable option. And I mean, it's interesting. He's got that nice little hooker and halfback dual position status. So it might be something you could look at if you really wanted to for, you know, later in the season. But yeah, I do agree. It's just ugly. Just avoid it all.
Yeah, I don't disagree there. Okay, so that's it for the good and the bad and the ugly for the Broncos. What's your big, what's your big call or your one to watch when play does resume? If you have one tip out there, Supercoach wise, whether it's the draw, whether it's who to avoid, who to buy, considering that the price changes are just about to happen, what are your thoughts?
I think there's a couple of interesting things I've been thinking about. So one is David Fifita, and we haven't actually talked about him. I think it's kind of similar to Haas. Like, you don't really need to talk about him, right? Everyone's got him. He's so dangerous. We saw what he can do in round one. But there's a legitimate argument that you could actually just let him get to his max price and then ditch him and find him someone else who's a bit more consistent. It's a riskier play because we saw how effective he can be. But there is, you know, he does only score about 45-50 if he doesn't get the attacking stats from time to time. So it's just something I've been thinking about, whether I'd actually do it. Probably not as a Broncos fan, but I can imagine, you know, someone like JT might be willing to part ways with as many Broncos as possible, right? So
JT loves the Broncos, mate. He would never ever do that at all.
Why else would he be on the Broncos preview, right?
What was that, JT? Sorry, would you say?
I've actually got about five in my side. I don't know how the hell that happened.
You love it, mate. You absolutely love it. Let's see.
Haas, Flegler, Fifita, Carrigan. Jesus, that is more than enough. That You've will got do Flegler. Me.
You're not that intelligent to start with Flegler. What's going on?
I didn't start with him. I just traded him in. And I'll probably trade him out over the next 6 months, but who knows?
Jeez.
If you can let me go back to my Kyle Felt highlights video, that would be great. Thank you.
All right. See you later, Justin. Great value again. Good on. All right. Cheers.
I was going to say the other call I would probably throw in there is just, I mean, you know, broken record, but I will talk about Milford again because we saw him running the ball so much in round one and in round two, we didn't really see him run the ball as much. And I think most of that was just due to the fact that Croft went down injured after about 15 minutes. So he was kind of thrust back into that organizing playmaker role again. But all it took was one run, right? And we hadn't seen him take on like the whole team of Rabbitohs or the opposition and just bust out a massive run like that where he scored about 40 points in one go with that massive individual try he pulled out. And I just think that's a great sign for his confidence. It shows that he is backing himself, which he hasn't done for a while. So I think, yeah, look, I do have a lot of confidence in Milford, and it's not just because I'm a fanboy.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think it's kind of been waiting in the wings for about 3 years, right? He's been threatening to do it and just hasn't been able to pull off a play like that. So, I completely agree with you there. I think he looks like he's ready for a big season, and he's, despite my Macca's joke before, he really looks like he's in good shape and ready to go for a cracking year. It's just a shame that we had to pause now. But anyway, that is life, I guess. So don't worry, Milf will be back soon and you'll be solo trying it up in the 15 games we play before going all the way to the 2020 grand final. Yeah.
Yep, I'm on board with that.
Yeah. Well, what about you, Justin? You on board with that, mate? Is that a cow?
Is that a cow?
It is. It's the sound of the Cowboys, fellas. Could even be the Titans when they come back. Might be nice and refreshed. Kickstart their year with a win over the Broncos in a 12-game competition and make the grand final. The options are endless. Much more likely than the Broncos ever making it.
Yeah, ready. Okay, time to put you back in your... I feel like... Have you ever seen Hey Hey, It's Saturday and Daryl Summers with
Dickie
Knee? Yeah. See you later, Justin. Bye. See ya.
That joke's about as old as the last Broncos premiership.
Mute yourself, mate. Yeah, go on. All right, Wilford, it's been great having you on the podcast again. I think it's been a year or two since you've given us your time. Doing a great job with your own podcast. Do you want to give that a bit of a plug at the moment, mate?
NRL Supercoach Champions, you can find us on all the usual podcasts formats, so Apple, Spotify, Google Play, whatever. You'll find me talking not as much about the Broncos. We try to spread the love, talk about all the teams. And then you've also got Bear, the 2018 champion, who, he's got some interesting takes and we have a bit of banter now and then. So, yeah, check us out if you like.
I love Bear. And you better let him know that when we do the Melbourne Storm preview that he better be joining us.
Oh, look, I think he'll be more than happy to have a chat about the Storm.
Good. Very good. Okay, let's end there. This is the shortest podcast we've done in about 5 years. 40 minutes. Fantastic. Good. All right. We can all get to bed early tonight. So thanks again. Thanks, guys. As I said, we're going to be trying doing these every week. I think we all need a little bit of a distraction right now. We're going to run through all the teams, try and get plenty of guests on to roll through it. So stay in touch with us and just keep chugging along, guys. It'll all turn around and it'll all become right again soon. But until next time, we're the SC Report and we'll be back maybe Sunday or next week. Cheers, guys. Thanks.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.